Greetings from Podcastville. The Church of What's Happened Now is brought to you by Hims. Listen, 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35. Did you know that? The thing is, when you start to notice hair loss, it's too late. Like me. I'm starting to lose my hair, but who cares? I'm 55. You follow me? It served its purpose. The hell with it. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you've lost. You see what I'm saying to you? Let me ask you a question. Thanks to science, baldness can be optional. So what I'm doing for you is this. I got a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, and you ready for this one? Sexual wellness for men. Hims connects you with real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss without having to break the bank. For Hims.com, here's what I need for you to do. Order now. I'm going to give my family, the church, a trial month of Hims for $5. That's it, right now, while supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost you $100 if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. So just go to Hims.com/Joey. That's for Hims, FORHIMS.com/Joey. Number two, listen, you're a fat fuck. You want to get a gi. You want people hanging on you. They're trying to fucking flip you over and sweep you. You want a durable gi, you got to go with fucking Fuji. They've been around since Jesus left Chicago. You understand me? When Jesus trained jiu-jitsu, he fucking bought a gi from Fuji. A lot of people don't know that.
I wear a Fuji gi.
Fuji is fucking Fuji. Top tip, top Magoo. From the all-purpose $99 one to the Separito, FujiSports.com is there for you. Go to FujiSports.com right now and press in.
Church.
Bam! Get 10% delivered right to the fucking crib. You understand me? Lee, kick this fucking mule. Here we go. Here we go. Are you fucking kidding me or what? Wednesday night, Thursday morning.
I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of
say, motherfucker, it's a beautiful day to be alive. My main man in the studio, the Christ Killer, Joe Chilling is in the studio sitting next to the Christ Killer, and Mickey's in the fucking house. What's going on here?
What's up, Uncle Joey?
What's up, beautiful? You're just one word now, Mickey. Like Prince?
Yeah.
It's Mickey.
I like that.
Mickey Rourke is done. All the other Mickeys are done. Mickey, it's done. All the Mickeys are done. They're That's all right. doing time. They're sucking dick. You're the up-and-coming Mickey. It's just Mickey.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Mickey Mantle's like it. Dead, and I don't feel so good myself. Mickey Rooney. All the Mickeys are fucking done.
Hell yeah.
You're the only Mickey. Mickey
I love
Rourke,
it.
The wrestler. That's it.
Hell yeah.
He had the face. Never again did you hear from him. They gave him a couple million. You never seen him again. He's cutting his toenails and shit. It's Mickey from now on. That's it. Call fucking Dana tomorrow and say, look. From now on, it's just Mickey.
That's what I'm going to get on my shorts.
That's just Mickey.
I'll tell him.
That's it.
I like that.
And the punch when you knock people out, it's called the Mickey.
Okay.
Remember when in the 70s, whenever you put a Cosby pill, it was called the Mickey.
Yeah.
People don't know that. It was called
slip
the Mickey.
Mickey.
So, like, you'd wake up, somebody slipped me a Mickey last night. No, you fucking asshole. You ate a Quaalude. Oh, I did? Yeah, you ate a Quaalude. No wonder you fucked up.
I'm in. I'm sold.
That's it, Mickey.
That's it.
What's up, Joe?
How you doing, buddy?
Good to see you. Thank you very much for the gifts.
Yeah, no problem.
You don't fuck around.
No, well, no.
I'm Jewish. You showed up with an envelope.
That's it.
You showed up with edibles. Papa's favorite. No
That's
fucking
it.
Around. Some people show up with like a fucking strudel. I don't want a strudel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Everything.
You're out here. You're training.
Yeah, been here for 3 months. Out here training with this guy a lot. You know, all over the place. I'm having a blast and working hard. You know.
This is like comedy. This is the other side of MMA, where this is like comedy. You're going out of your comfort zone to somewhere else. Like when you start comedy, you start like in Denver, and you're there for like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Then somebody comes to you and says, you got to go on the road. And you start going on the road, and then the fucking hotels are shitty, and people getting murdered next door to you. You hear women getting banged and hookers and shit like that, but that's the road.
Yeah.
And this is what you did. You got out of your comfort zone in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
You came out here, you're training with this fucking killer.
Yeah.
There's killer. Nobody better in the fucking business with hands and feet and elbows. He'll elbow you to fucking death.
Yeah.
You take one elbow, he'll still fucking kill you with the one elbow. He'll just keep coming in like a fucking... I told these guys...
Joey's done his homework.
I'm telling you,
I had a teacher, Panacucci. That's what I'm going to call you. Panacucci lost his arm in Vietnam. He only had the stub. So he would put his shopping jacket in his pocket, right? He would put only in New Jersey. This guy I'll verify from only New Jersey, a shop teacher was missing the hand from here down. He lost the grenade. It lost up to here. So whenever you fucked off. Like,
and he was a woodshop teacher?
And he was a woodshop teacher.
You think he sliced that on a.
My brother, he would hit you with the little elbow right to the kidney that you would drop to a knee right there. He didn't fuck around. There was no parents. Nobody got involved. Mr. Panacucci would come over. Mm-hmm. What'd you do? You fucked up the drill. What did I tell you about the person in the drill? What are you, a fucking... And he just give you a little elbow to the kidney, the little cut-off hook to the fucking kidney and shit. And
That's like that dude Nick Newell, the MMA fighter, with one only at the... Yeah.
Bro, that those elbows, when you lost an elbow, that like it's like mule strength.
Yeah, short and sweet.
Fucking Panacucci.
There was a local California kickboxer. It's local California, but pro Muay Thai fighter, Baxter Humby. It was like a multi-time world champion. He was cut off, I think, right at the just below the elbow, and they would some fight like amateur fights he had to wear a glove, and then pro fights he didn't have to wear it, and it was like an elbow, but he had way different dexterity than like you would have, you know what I mean, because your arm's not in the way.
So I think you should
fucking people up and shit. He's bad.
You can't defend it. You don't know how it's coming. It might come with a missile.
Well, don't they have that guy Nick Newell or something?
I've trained with Nick Newell before. He's tough. Yeah, I think they should, like, you know, glove the nub, though. I think it's kind of, you know what I mean? Like, that thing's kind of, it's like they should have to put a glove on something, right?
Was it at the elbow or not?
It's, like, a little bit below. Like, there's a little bit of the bend, but you can't armbar that thing. There's not a lot.
Right.
Yeah. He's fighting on the Contender Series. He's a nice kid. It's an inspiring story, you know?
No, it is inspiring. All that shit. Tonight I was watching some other kid who had a stroke a year ago. Now he's playing high school football.
Yeah.
He's learning how to fucking walk again. You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. That like, he fell off a bicycle, and he had a fucking tumor in his brain or something like that. He had to learn how to walk again. Now he's playing fucking high school football. All that shit gets me all the time.
Yeah,
that's you got to watch the end of the news to get that. The beginning of the news is bullshit. They tell you about Trump and Russia and who's getting fucking who Harvey Weinstein fucked in the ass. You got to wait for the last 10 minutes. They show you the black kid with a missing leg. That saved 3 Puerto Ricans in a boat. You know what I'm saying? Off the coast of the Hudson River or something.
They say the really like sad shit for them.
For them, yeah. The really good inspirational shit. That's how left? The news gets you. Yeah.
You got anything left after the politics?
Check after they shoot everybody,
this one-legged kid,
and they rob transvestites from going to the bathroom and the whole fucking thing. Now at the end,
a little feel
like
good.
An emotional story from Boulder City, Nevada, where they made the Fisher Pen last week. That's the pen that went to the moon the first time 50 years ago. Fisher Pen. So I said, well, what's that emotional story? Who gives a Frenchman's fuck? Anyway, we were talking about training camps.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about training camps is like, all right, someone like Joe. Joe's got 2 children. You know, Joe, it's tough to be away from your kids.
Yeah.
6 weeks in fucking Santa Fe or something, wherever the fuck you're going to be. You know?
Right.
Got a little airplane action.
Unfucking believable. I'm sitting here 2 hours, not a plane up in the sky. Over. I started a podcast, also Pablo Escobar wants to fucking show up with 20 Colombians and shit. And Barry Seal with American Made. What's his name? Fucking Cruz.
Yeah.
That's tough, going on the road. Like, nah, I would love to just live on the road. Like, if I was just married and we didn't have this 5-year-old, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
I'd leave for 2.5 weeks with a job.
Yeah.
I'd be working fucking every night except Monday and Sunday. I'd be on the road
hotels
5 nights a week. Yeah, 3 weeks. Come home for a week or two. Go back out. But you can't do that when you have kids, unless you're an animal.
Yeah.
Unless you want your kids to think you went to fucking prison or something like that. You know?
Sure.
You're gone. You're gone. And I'm telling you, it doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. It doesn't work for me at all. Like, I leave 6 days a month. I could stand that. I could barely stand that. That's enough.
How old's your daughter?
5.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm an old man with a fucking 5-year-old. I drop her off at camp every morning. The parents look at me all fucking weird and shit.
You're like my dad. My dad has a 5 and a 3-year-old.
That's
crazy. He remarried and he's got little babies.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's the new, you know, it's the new thing. The slim dick when you're 55. And shit.
Hell yeah, that's exactly it.
Have a bunch of kids when you're 55. Fuck it. Who gives a fuck about the heart attack? I take 2 aspirins a day.
Yeah.
One in the day and one at night. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
So nobody's got a fight scheduled here. We're just training, just
training, getting better. Game. Chomping at the bit though. Any ready day I should have a contract like any day. I'm waiting, you know.
What just about you, Big Joe?
Same thing. I'm gonna kick switching over to MMA from kickboxing. I'm just signing a contract. I'm just waiting for a matchup. Hopefully, August, September.
You learned some jiu-jitsu from fucking Mickey.
Yeah, I've been training.
Mickey's a bad motherfucking jiu-jitsu man.
Yeah, Mickey, Eve Edwards, you know, all the guys have been working a lot, so I'm feeling good.
Dude, you look good. He's turned a corner too. Like certain things he would do, he'd like turn his back. He's getting up. He's changed his game, and like he just did a jiu-jitsu tournament, the High Rollers tournament a few weeks ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Dude, he did great. He submitted a dude with a straight ankle lock. Dude, he did awesome. But like you could tell in the last week, like he started like really like I'd say the last 2 weeks, he started really like bearing down and like is getting everything and like was strong and like using every. He's moving correctly. Like it's awesome. It's awesome. Joe might be some. I call him Jiu-Jitsu Joe. I'm submitting some motherfuckers soon.
I mean, just ask Mickey. I'm pretty much black belt, right?
Like,
I
pretty
just
much.
Just give me the black belt already. I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you, dog.
Right?
You yeah, promote me. That's supposed to be a surprise after.
Yeah, but, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yes. I knew it.
You started as a Muay Thai guy, though.
Mm-hmm.
That was your base. That's no wrestling, no high school wrestling, none of that shit.
No. I wrestled for like 3 weeks in like sixth grade, and then the coach found out I was ineligible, and then so I didn't wrestle anymore. And then I started kickboxing when I was 15. Had my first fight at 16, 17, and then moved out to LA when I was 19.
What'd you get paid for that first fight?
Oh, my first amateur fights? Nothing.
Nothing.
My first pro fight, I think I got take $250.
Jesus Christ.
Lucrative.
Yeah.
Lucrative.
I would go back, almost want to go back. I mean, not the money, but like it was a way, like way back then you're so hungry and you could fight anybody. There was no contracts, so like you can only fight when these people tell you. You could fight any, like anytime you wanted to. Every weekend, whoever you could get a fight. I mean, I miss those days.
Jesus
you know,
Christ.
Amateur fights. When I first moved to LA, I was an amateur. They had like smoker fights, which is why I moved to LA, was because they'd have fights almost every weekend at all the different Muay Thai gyms. There's a lot of like the Muay Thai scene in Los Angeles is pretty big. There's probably 10 or 12 like pretty legit Muay Thai gyms in Los Angeles. So like they would have amateur fights at the gym and they would call them smoker fights. And you know, your gym would like, you know, all the guys from your gym would take on other gyms, and then people would, they'd sell $10 tickets or whatever, go in the gym. And I was doing those like every weekend for, I think I got like 9 fights the first summer I moved out here. But that's when you get all the experience, you know? I think the experience from fighting like that, amateurs, was what you rely on later on in your career, is that you have all those amateur fights.
Now, have you trained overseas over there in Thailand and all that?
I trained in Thailand for about 2 months.
How was it?
It was cool. I think it's overrated. I mean, like, you can get a lot out of it, but I think the overall... a lot of people go over to Thailand to train and they come back and they're worse than when they left, you know what I mean?
Why is that?
Oh, the language barrier, and then the, you know, yeah, I think mostly the language barrier and the trainers like not caring, you know.
That makes sense. Since, you know, like, I've been training,
like, you're
with
on
him.
Vacation, it's like you're, if you're at a Thai camp and Phuket or whatever, where everybody goes on vacation, and you constantly get people coming in where they're there for like 2 weeks and then they're gone. They're there for a week and they're gone. Like, how much energy is that trainer, that pad holder really going to put into you knowing you're going to be gone in like a week? You know, that makes sense?
Yeah.
Makes sense. It's weird because when you go to places in LA, like especially the Hollywood area, when somebody comes in and they talk about going to Thailand, it's like, when you go to prison and guys talk about going to different prisons. I've been to that prison. Really? How was it? It was cool, man. We partied out every night. And you're like, what the fuck is he talking about, partying out every night in prison? Because a couple weeks ago, I was in a Muay Thai gym, and there was a girl that came in, and she was like, all hoity-toity, you know, fucking, I train in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
Three guys were like, where at? Mo Tank. Oh, my God, did you eat the snake? You know, the whole fucking deal. A couple of them were fucking impressed. Get the fuck out of here, all right? Go to Thaiville down the fucking corner there on Tuesdays and Thursdays down there kicking fucking trees behind that building on Western there years ago. I'm not kidding you.
Really?
Years ago. I remember I used to go to Subak Do on Sunset next to El Compadre, and there was a guy that was always bruised up in there. And I asked him one day, why are you always bruised up? And he goes, because I train at the Thai place behind the restaurant with the waiters on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and they had the tree with the rope. They had the whole fucking thing back there, and they were kicking the shit out of each other back there, too. They broke his arm back there one time. I saw him one time with this fucking sling. I go, what happened? You were back there? He goes, yeah, they fucked me up. They weren't fucking around. They were fucking around white kids back there. White kids were going back there thinking they could fucking throw with these waiters. And these waiters were popping them and shit.
Yeah.
That's that.
Sure.
Now, you're the owner, one of the owners of the yard.
Yeah.
And that's just a Muay Thai, or that's a full...
It's just a Muay Thai. It's basically, I mean, we only offer Muay Thai, but we have like MMA cage and stuff for my training and stuff. But yeah, it's a Muay Thai gym.
So you do most of your training down there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and Muscle Farm. Training Muscle Farm also. Yeah, I go to Muscle Farm a lot. Get a lot of work down there.
Okay, you're strictly the yard. That's good. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
How is Muscle Farm there?
It's awesome. It's a big, beautiful place. Like, they just decked it out. The owner, Ryan Drexler, he's like a jiu-jitsu guy, brown belt, competes a lot, from Long Island, whatnot. It's beautiful, dude. They have muscle cars in there, like the cars from, what was that, Dazed and Confused?
They have the Judge GTO from Dazed and Confused, where he throws the bowling ball through the window.
They got the muscle cars and the muscle farm. There's always like NBA players, 2 Chainz down there. Like a lot of like, it's like, you know, it's cool. It's a cool little place.
They have milkshakes?
No, 2 Chainz, the rapper.
I know 2 Chainz, but they make milkshakes now?
No, they don't have any milkshakes yet.
No Muscle Farm milkshakes?
No, they have all the supplements out and shit, but yeah, no. I hear they got an acai place inside Legacy. Is that right?
Yeah, next to Legacy.
Yeah?
Tremendous, yeah.
Is that where I went? Where did I go?
Yeah, you went to Legacy.
That was Legacy? Okay, cool.
Yeah, you went to Legacy. Okay. Where you twisted the guy up and shit. All of a sudden, all you heard was, ah!
That was his fault.
Damn it, Joe.
That's funny.
Damn it, Miggy.
That's funny. Yeah, I remember that.
No, there's an acai place there, and then there's one around the corner. Green something. Great fucking place right around the corner over here.
Yeah, I hear you've been staying really regular, doing your jiu-jitsu all the time.
Yeah.
And you're really training Muay Thai, too?
Yeah, the conditioning class.
That's awesome.
You know, you got to come over and fuck with me on this Muay Thai shit.
Every once in a while, I go to the nighttime class, and it's tremendous. I just don't... I'm 55. I don't have the energy at 6 o'clock at night to go down there and fight with young fucking kids.
Yeah.
But an 11 to 12 o'clock class, like a 9 o'clock class, I'm all in.
For sure.
That's when I'm tip-top. I go at night. My shit's fucked up.
Hell yeah.
I was thinking about, we were supposed to do the podcast yesterday, and then you called, and we switched, and we had a date. So we switched it. But
okay.
I was on the train tonight. I would have tried it tonight. Like last Wednesday, I went to Muay Thai at 6.
Yeah.
Like I've been I'm home. I don't have to go on the road, so I've been forcing myself to go outside of my comfort zone. So one night I could go down there for an hour and throw some sidekicks for Jesus. And at night it's different.
Some sidekicks for
Jesus. Because in the morning when I go, half the class is conditioning. Ropes and kettlebells and getting on the fucking pyrometric boxes and all that shit.
You're doing all that stuff.
Yeah, and then the other side of the class is technique. 30-second interval shit.
Yeah.
10-second breather, you know.
Right.
And I would go to jiu-jitsu, dog, and I wasn't getting... This is what happened. It's consistency, and it's showing up 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
I can't roll 4 days, cuz. That's never going to happen. 4 days is a lot for Uncle Joey. So I had to figure out how to get 4 days, even 5. Like, last week, I went 5 days. I went to 3 jiu-jitsus and 2 Muay Thais, and I did 1 day conditioning at the house with kettlebells and shit.
You're doing the same amount of workout as us.
Yeah. No. But I go very...
That's way more than me. I don't know.
So what I do is I'll go Monday at 9. From 9 to 10, do the conditioning. And Wednesday, Monday at 9 to 10, do the conditioning. Tuesday, I'll do jiu-jitsu conditioning from 11 to 12. And then I'll roll 3 times.
Okay.
Thursday, nice. I will not...
Three rolls in
it.
Nice.
Thursday, I will not go to jiu-jitsu conditioning. I'll just go to jiu-jitsu and roll. You follow me? So this week, I'll go Saturday and roll out because I got Sunday off. What do I give a fuck?
Do you only do the gi on?
Yeah, I'm not good, but that's too fast. That world is too fast.
Yeah, it is fast.
Joey.
I get too fast.
What's your gi game like? What's your gi game like?
I'm a closed gi,
closed guard.
Closed guard. Listen.
Okay.
I'm not gonna be Baron Bowling the motherfucker. That's just, fuck off. See, that was the problem. I was going to places where they were playing.
Baron Bolos, like you invert.
I was going to places where they were doing all this crazy shit that you feel, you leave there feeling like I didn't really improve.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't do well. Something isn't right.
Right.
And one day I just saw a friend of mine one day, and I know he's a black belt. And he goes, "What are you doing today?" He goes, "You want to train a little while?" I'm like, "Oh, let me go down there with you." Then he goes, and we rolled a little bit. He goes, "I got to tell you something. You're fucking terrible." He goes, "You're terrible." He goes, "You're terrible because
I love coaches like that.
You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing."
I tell Mickey he's terrible every day.
He goes, "What,
and I almost start swinging on him all the time.
Why are you doing this? Why are you?" And it's the truth. See, the problem that we have is that you're trying to make a living, so you can't tell me I'm terrible. Mm. Because in today's society, most people you tell they're terrible, they'll take their fucking bowling ball and go give somebody else double what they're paying you. Yeah. That'll blow smoke up their ass. That's the society we live in. As soon as he told me I was terrible, do you think I went home and cried? No, I listened. I go, "What do I need to do?" He goes, "Let's start from here.
Stop doing the cannonball. The rule."
Yeah. Lock your legs. Lock your legs.
No more.
Yes,
lock your legs.
I prefer that too.
Grab this part of the gi, his wrist here, and grab the top of the back of the shoulder.
And get your angle.
And go. Just go. Every time, just pull him in.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you pull, grab the back of the fucking belt, and now he ain't going nowhere. Trust me.
Yeah.
And I can't breathe. Joe, I'm sitting there like, and you're going, yeah, and I can't breathe. And next thing you know, I just open one leg and put it under your armpit, and you're on your fucking back.
Mm-hmm.
That's the game.
Like, that's a flower sweep, right?
That's it. No, right? A flower is sometimes, because with that control, you're gonna just fuck up yourself. I'm just gonna move my hand to your fucking collar. Now you're gonna try the corner, and I got you with a scissor. You're mm-hmm. just gonna scissor nice. Yourself. 3/4 of the scissor, you're gonna go over me, and I'm gonna be right there and just. That's all I got.
Awesome.
That's my game. And then I scissor the mount.
Get on top. Yeah, good.
That's it. I'm hell a fat yeah, fuck. Dude. That's it. And I go for an arm, whatever.
There you go, Americanas.
Americanas and Kimuras. That's it. That's
my
it.
Man, I love it.
My wrist, the pussy wrist, from hitting the bag with no okay. wraps all those years with my gorilla buddies in Jersey. Let's hit the fucking bag. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No wrist. No, none of that. Let's just hit the fucking bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
My wrist is shot, so I can't do north-south okay. chokes and all that shit. But I fucking love jiu-jitsu. I love the thought process of it.
Yeah.
But, so I wasn't getting enough burn. So I went online and I researched what fucking gives you the most bang for your money. And it's swimming, which I love swimming. I can't do because of my ears. Because the water throws my balance off and I get vertigo.
The water going in your ears?
Yeah.
What if you just hit earplugs?
I gotta wear earplugs, okay. But come on.
Sucks, right?
They suck dick. Yeah. I shower with earplugs on. And I still got fucking
really?
More. Yeah, I got a shower. I got 2 million earplugs in my bathroom. They're everywhere. You understand me? I got earplugs fucking everywhere. You go in my luggage, I got earplugs everywhere. But that's where it happens. When I go on the road, I jump in a pool. Then I go to my room, fly.
Oh, it's got to be the pressure.
The water Ooh. Fucking sits.
No bueno.
You go to a hotel room, you get up in the middle of the night, fucking the room spinning around like you did 22 sleeping pills. You're waking up in Cosby. Somebody slipped you a Mickey. You know what I'm saying? That's what happens. That water locks in from the flight. So,
yeah.
So I couldn't swim. Kettlebells burns the most fat, but number two is Muay Thai training.
Hmm.
That's the killer. That's 1,000 calories in an hour. If I go train with you for an hour, forget the fucking ropes and the kettlebells. Just punching and kicking and 3-minute rounds, 5-minute rounds, combinations. You kick at me and I kick at you. That's 1,000 calories.
And what's great about it?
A lot of people don't know
it.
That.
What's great about
it is your physique. Look at his physique. He can't. I can give him 22 steaks. Nothing happens to him. Are you a vegan?
No.
Fuck. We ate barbecue today. We had a lot of.
This guy would never even gain an ounce.
But what you're saying with Muay Thai, like, is there a more fun way to work out? You're developing a skill, like a self-defense skill, and you're like, you get to bash it all day. Like, it's awesome. You know, I think like Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu. That's like everyone. Why would you not do that as a work? You're working out, and it's like a fun game. You know what I mean?
Now I used to go on the road and do jiu-jitsu. Not bueno idea. too many knuckleheads on the road.
When you come to Jersey, though, we'll take care of you. Come to Gracie, New Jersey.
When I go on the road now, I like type of Muay Thai, and I go to a Muay Thai gym, and it's tremendous. I sweat my fucking ass off. I get the second bag for free. So I bring the bag with the knee pads, the gloves, the hand wraps. I bring a protein powder drink.
Well, that you like, you don't need a partner to like practice Muay Thai. Like you could be at your house, fucking shadow boxing, and thinking about, you know, what you're working on. Like it's very personal, as opposed to being like, Mickey, come over. I've been thinking about this arm bar all day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's a big help.
But jiu-jitsu is so much fun. It's such a mental, physical chess game. And I never played chess.
Love it. Yeah.
I never played chess. I'm not gonna play chess. I'm not gonna play fucking checkers. I never had the patience. And I was in prison. I still can't play checkers. When you go to prison, you don't have to do two things. You know how to play prison, you know how to play checkers, and you know how to play handball. I don't care if you never play handball before. You go to prison, you'll play handball. You know what I'm saying?
Checkers is really easy. It's just...
Listen, I don't like checkers. I don't want to sit next to nobody for 2 hours fucking mounting. I played with my daughter 2 weeks ago. It drove me fucking crazy. I didn't know what the fuck to do. She had different colored checkers.
Yeah,
she wanted me to king her and shit. I don't know nothing about this shit. I got a king. I don't know nothing about fucking kinging people. Nothing.
Oh my god.
What else, Joe? Talk to me, brother.
Chillin', man. Things good.
When was the last time you had the? When was the last time you won the ring?
My last fight, I think, was in December, and what was it? In Florence, Italy. I fought Philippe Verlinden. And Bellator kickboxing. It was good. I went the distance. I won on points.
Fucking Italy. Look at you. They fly you all around the world. This shit.
Bellator kickboxing was really good. All my fights were in... I had 3 fights in Italy and then Budapest and Hungary. It's cool.
You were at Glory for a while, too.
Yeah, I was at Glory. When I was at Glory, all my fights were in the U.S., so I was like the U.S. guy.
He won that Glory big route. Tournament in
right,
LA.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he's fucking tremendous. Both of you guys are savages. I'm over here in awe.
But I really liked traveling and getting out of the country. And when I was fighting for Glory, I always wanted to be on the cards, the European cards, but they always had me in the States, you know.
People recognize you everywhere?
I get recognized a lot. I got recognized in Holland a lot, and even overseas, like, quite a bit. Yeah.
Now, what's on Spike? Bellator MMA?
Yeah.
No Bellator kickboxing.
I think it's on periodically.
There. Okay, yeah, because I know I get fucking confused. I know I watch kickboxing on there.
Yeah.
I saw Glory 2 weeks ago, about a month ago on ESPN, and that was the day I was watching.
Right?
Yeah, I saw it on ESPN one afternoon, and I saw the weirdest thing. I was sitting there watching with my daughter, and I saw one woman kick the other one right in the monkey. It was the fucking weirdest thing, and the ref had to fucking stop him.
What's the ruling on that?
It's a warning. Yeah. She got a warning. And what did you think she did? She went right off, hauled off, and kicked her right in the monkey again.
Really?
And I'm sitting there with my daughter. I go, watch this. This is tremendous. This is karate. Come here.
Yeah.
And she kicked her right in the monkey. My daughter's like, what the fuck? I go, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck's going on. So I told my wife. My wife was like, what are you watching? The chick was holding a pussy right on TV and shit, right on the fucking mat. She's holding on to a pussy. And my wife was like, what the fuck are you watching? I go, it's a kick fight. And I don't know. She kicked her in the monkey. My wife's like, ooh, that hurts. I go, have you ever been kicked in the monkey? She goes, yeah, my sister kicked me one time. They don't make cups for women. So she goes, yeah, she held off the first time, kicked her. The girl's knee buckled a little bit. The ref held the other one, gave her like a warning. Are you ready? Yeah. She put her back. What do you think the girl did? Hold right off and kicked her right again in the fucking
pussy
monkey.
Pussy trauma.
Yeah, like fucking tremendous. Sorry about the language.
It's all good. It's all right. She's a guy, basically.
I didn't want to call it a twat kick.
What made you want to open your own gym? Because I've seen, like, there's a lot of fighters. I saw, like, Mike Chandler just opened his own gym. TJ Dillashaw has a gym now.
Does he?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Like, there's a lot of people opening gyms. Like, is it just, like, it's even more than just having a place where everything's in one place? You want to have it be your place? And, like, you, like, start certain things about your training or...
I'm not sure why those guys did it. I did it because I was I needed to figure out how I was gonna continue to train and support my family when I didn't have fights. And that was like that was like 10 years ago. Well, I think almost 10 years ago.
Wow.
I opened my gym.
Yeah, the yard in Lincoln Heights, Los Angeles.
Right.
Come down. Good job. You're welcome, Joe.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Got you, dog.
And what made? Where did you guys meet?
We met at Bellator out here, through our former management. We met, and you know, I was at home, and I was kind of outgrowing my partners. You know, I needed to train with bad motherfuckers, and then you know, we connected, and I you know, I'd been hearing like I had a couple like connections in LA, and I was like, you know, chilling was kind of the final piece where I was like, boom, this is what I got to do, this is what I should be doing, and I came out here.
Good for you, man. Yeah, you called me right away, but that was I saw you down the store.
Yeah.
And I thought you were like a Castle Rock or something, you guys.
Eagle Rock. I'm living with Eve Edwards, who's a legend. And so I'm picking his brain, watching fights with him, like picking his brain all the time. Like, you know, I'm soaking up the knowledge out here, learning a lot.
How old are you now, Mike?
26.
Yeah.
I'm about to go on a run. He's
for sure going to starch his next three opponents. I fucking bet my house on it. For sure.
Yeah, this is now you have to just make it.
I'm serious, man. Yeah. For sure.
It's such a weird thing that you have to actually sit down now that MMA has been around for a while. It's not a new sport anymore. Like,
it
keeps evolving and it keeps growing. But you've looked behind, we've all seen behind all the different curtains now and all the different facades that the different organizations have thrown at us. So you know exactly. It's like when somebody says to you, do you know that the longevity of an NFL running back is 3 years? You're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And you start thinking about it. You're like, if you really think about it, a running back, our favorites, yeah, they took care of themselves. They got married. They fucking lifted weights. They drank water. You know, the percentages. But the rest of them, yeah, they're 3 fucking years. Three years. So you have to say to yourself, I'm 26. I want to get out of this with a fucking envelope.
Mm-hmm. And a brain.
A building and a brain. You know, I read that fucking thing about that 21-year-old football player that killed himself. He had the brain of a 65-year-old. 21 years old.
Yeah.
One concussion. He started acting fucking weird and he shot himself. One concussion. So you have to say to yourself, you know, it's like one time I had a conversation with Anderson Silva and he was talking about how he always wanted to come home like he left. His number one thing wasn't winning as much as it was not getting hit, not absorbing, you know.
Interesting.
He wants to come home to his family
and be the same guy.
You know, you have to go for the longevity thing and go, okay, I'm 26. What's my run going to be like?
What part of his career did you have that conversation with him? Because that sounds like somebody who's like, is that like right before he retired? Or
no, this was, this had to be about, he was a champion. And we were all just eating dinner one night.
Interesting.
And we were all just talking with Ed Suarez. And Ed was telling us stories. You know, he was saying stories. Fucking funny guy. Like, it was
Suarez or
both of them. Really? Both of them. Ed's been on the podcast and stuff. But
yeah.
To see both of them together that one night. And I've had different conversations. But that night was really interesting because he was telling us a story about the time when he knocked somebody out with an elbow.
Probably that Tony Frickland where he came up with him.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it's crazy.
And he said that he did it in practice, and the coach said, "If you do that again, I'm gone." So he would have to have his wife hold the pillow at night for him to practice that. So he would make his wife hold the pad in the living room while
Oh my God!
So when he went in the fight, he did it to show his coach that it worked. Like little shit like that, he was telling the stories. You know, it's a fucking, you know, when you're a comedian, when you're a fighter, you're like, fuck that guy. But when you're a comedian, you're like, that's fucking interesting.
I think it's awesome.
Little
that's
things
crazy.
Like
you
that.
You have your wife as your
can you imagine
training
having,
partner.
Honey, I got to talk to you for a second. What? Come here for a second. Just got to show you something.
Hold the pillow right
just
here.
Just hold the pillow right here. What the fuck are you talking about? Last week you wanted to tie me up, and now you want to fucking me hold up. No, I'm not doing it. But it made sense. Like, that's the plan. Like, that's the plan.
Yeah.
Like, I want to do this for 5 fucking years and get the fuck out of here with an envelope, a house.
Yeah.
One of the fucking girls, one of the ring girls, take her.
It's like a wife up, Ariane.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, fuck Ariana.
She's nah, done. She's old, yeah, old news.
Yeah, she's
right?
old news.
Can bring one of those new girls.
Yeah, fuck Ariana. You need a fucking young little flake. You know what I'm saying?
Ariana would be my sugar mama.
Yeah, by that time she'd be like a 90. You know what I'm saying? But it's true. You have like a window.
Yeah, no, I'm really aware of that. That's why I work really hard, and like you know I've been gearing up for the I think this next like year, I'm gonna really have a like for a real breakout. You know. Yeah, this dude's telling me I gotta train less, and he's right, and it's helping. But like I've been making the most of my time here, my time the past like year, you know, been taking it super serious.
It's not that it's less. He's telling you to train smarter. He
exactly.
knows the deal.
Exactly.
He's telling you to train smarter.
And that's what I.
There's a smarter way to train.
Yeah.
Instead of training, you could train 6 days a week.
I needed to hear that.
Or train four and make the same gains as if you were training six and
or
stay
more.
Healthy, and even train five because that fifth day you're doing yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you take a fucking yoga class, just do whatever, you know, something different to strengthen your muscles a different way.
Yeah,
it's so interesting how MMA, like you know, Joe was saying he's going to do MMA now. It's completely different. You got to work three different fucking disciplines.
There's no set
condition.
Formula.
There's
it's
no
not like football
formula,
where
no.
you just if you're a lineman you practice blocking all day. If you're you know what I mean, you practice if you're on D if you're D tackle you practice the swim move and whatever. And tackling, like here, it's like you have to practice jiu-jitsu, you have to practice, you know what I mean, and everyone, and then you have to focus in on your own game. It's I think it's the fucking shit. I think it's the coolest sport.
I love it. I love
it's the
it.
Best,
and from
right?
comedy, like I wish I had the balls to be a fighter. Like if I was 21 now, and I grew up watching what I've been watching as an MMA fan. Now you have it in your head how you would do it. You know how you like you have like. 7 fights, so you got to start knocking motherfuckers out and calling people out, like grabbing Joe Rogan by the arm. Fucking, I'm gonna kill your fucking mother. I'm gonna go there and fuck your father in the ass.
I told you this morning.
Right.
This is craziness. That's what you need.
Yeah,
to
no,
do.
This
that's
is crazy
my next,
shit.
That's
this
my
is
next
this is the thing. This
that's
is the
verbatim.
Thing. Not even like trying to be rude, like a Conor and so people, but just go out there like a fucking animal. Stay healthy. Don't you know? You got to stay in. You know, because and then the hardest thing is once you get it, it's keeping it.
Right.
Once you get it, getting it is easy compared to keeping it.
That's like when you were saying that with Anderson Silva. That reminded me, like they say, like it's hard for a king to go to war when he's sleeping in satin sheets. It's all the people on the come up who are grinding, like to get up, to get to be the king. You know, but so that's what I think. It's like it's really impressive and it's strong minded, like for the champions that stay and remain.
You got 15 like, motherfuckers that have the same. Train of thought that you have that are 26 right now, somewhere in this country, Oklahoma, Arkansas, you have to think about them and think how you're going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I loved watching the UFC and, well, what are you going to do against Joe Schilling? Well, Joe Schilling's a tough guy, but he's never gone up against a guy with my right hand. Are you fucking retarded? Joe Schilling has been going up against right and left hands all his fucking life. But some people just get their right hand. Like, when I see a fighter say that, I write him off. Because I think in between every fight, you should come in with a different weapon. Like every fight, if I was a fighter, I'd come in with a different weapon. Like this time, I'm going to come in with something jiu-jitsu-wise. Mickey, teach me something out of this fucking world.
Yeah.
Joey, I'm going to teach you a combination, take down, heel hook with a punch to the fucking jaw. That you know, something. And then the next time I train, I'm going to go to fucking Joe and go, Joe, give me a complete fucking history of the elbow. Give me the complete history of the elbow. Let's go to the fucking museum. Let's break down elbows, how they come at you, the whole fucking thing. I want to learn how to sharpen my elbow. And then from there, and then the next fight, I take Joe to take me to some Japanese master to teach me how to sharpen my toes so I can fucking kick him right in the abdomen and stab him.
Yeah.
And that's what you do. But if you keep telling me about your right hand, guess what, Joe? I know about your fucking right hand. Sorry, Charlie. I know about your right hand. But I didn't know you had that left leg kick like a motherfucker on the inside leg lick. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. You know what I'm saying? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Fuck yeah.
Once you tell me, he's never gotten a right hand like mine. Okay. Because your right hand is different. It comes in a different fucking way, like a curveball. No, it don't. Unless you got like a voodoo elbow. You know what I'm saying? Are you crazy?
Oh, shit.
You got to come in with something new every fucking time. So they
gotta
go, what
stay sharp.
That's why I really did love GSP.
Yeah.
I always respect him. Because 1 month you'd see him doing ballet. Did you ever see him with It's like when Kevin Lee was on Rogan.
Yeah.
If you didn't like Kevin Lee, and then you saw him on Rogan, when he was talking about getting kicked in the head, and that he focused on one thing when he learned in ballet, that when you're doing the spins, and the guy Rogan goes, so you take ballet? He goes, yeah, you got to prepare for shit like that. I like that guy. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He went and took a ballet class one day. He goes, let me see what the fuck I... Maybe I could throw a kick off my toe or something like that. Who knows? Maybe I'll put those shoes on and throw people off. You imagine running into the ring with ballet shoes on? People are like, what happened to Mickey? Don't worry about nothing.
Then you come and kick him right off. Some size 13 ballerina shoes.
Who's a fuck? There's got to be a tranny somewhere that's doing ballet. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. Right? They got to... guys do ballet, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
There's two kids in my daughter's class. I threw them out. I told the mother, don't bring these kids in no more. You're fucking them up.
What?
Fucking 4 and 3. You're fucking them up already. You're throwing them to the wolves.
Yeah. Give them no shot.
You know what I'm saying? You give them no shot. And with little pink kid, she made him wear the fucking tutu.
The teacher
has a beautiful little boy. And he would get pissed. She would make him come in, like she would watch him. And he would just sit there and punch the mother's leg for an hour. Like, I don't want to be here with these dumb bitches. Look at all these dumb 4-year-old dirty bitches with snots
coming. That kid's going to be a badass. He's
but no, I haven't seen him. I haven't seen him in about four or five or six weeks. He probably beat the mother to death. You know, fucking thing.
Can't believe you threw another family out.
Oh, yeah. Don't bring your son to ballet. These poor kids don't know what they're doing.
I love that.
Yeah, you got to talk to the
give them some real, be like, guys.
How'd she take it when you told her that?
She took a little fucking Nike haircut and left. What do you want me to do? I don't fucking know. She got mad at me. Oh my God. You had the one kid with silver shoes on. You can't do that to a kid. He's 4. That's false advertising.
To who?
To anybody. Anybody who sees that wrong. And then she would go out and talk on the phone. What if I was a pedophile in ballet? And I wanted to give her little kid a stabbing or something like that with those silver fucking shoes on. You ever think about that?
No, I don't. I don't take edibles and go to ballet. That's fucked up.
If I'm going to ballet, I'd definitely be taking edibles.
As doing ballet or to go watch ballet? Let me tell you something. That's the 45 minutes that I could fucking do without every week.
Yeah.
I do it because I love my little daughter and it'll mean the world to her later on.
Yeah.
But it's 45 minutes that I can replace
easily. You have a daughter. That's under, you know, I get it.
Yeah, I go. Daughter, it's all little girls, and there's a couple dads that go, and I sit there sometimes, and I go, listen, how lucky am I? How lucky am I that I'm able to go to these things? Most dads are working. They're fucking digging a trench. Mm. They're training. They're fucking teaching Muay Thai. I get to go to these things, so I get the opportunity to go. I guarantee, if you know what I'm saying? So that's why I do this.
Yeah.
That's why I do these little fucking things. It's not the big things. Anybody can give you a kid a boat or whatever. It's little things, you know. Taking them swimming. You know how many times I've gone swimming with my kid over here when she was a baby? No joke. When she was a baby, I used to, because I saw it on World News Tonight. A doctor in fucking Yale took his kids. He had twins. And he would throw them in the pool when they were 3 months old. 2 twins. I saw it. It was fucking amazing. And by the time they were 8 months old, they were swimming under fucking water. They had them, you know, those feel-good stories on World News Tonight?
Jeez.
So I told my wife, I'm throwing her in the fucking, like Cuban. When you're Cuban, you throw your kid in the fucking water. When you're Cuban, there's no swimming teacher. There's no swimming teacher. When you're in Havana, there's no teachers. There's no swimming teachers. They take you by the neck and they throw you off the pier with the lobsters and you learn how to swim. I swear to fucking God, Cubans don't believe in swim coaches. There's no fucking Olympic swimming team.
That's, so that's like a Cuban rule. There's no
coaches. No swimming coaches. That's it.
No swim coaches.
They teach you how to swim with the fucking lobsters. Let me tell you how prejudiced they were in Cuba. This is a true story. Let me tell you how prejudiced they were in Cuba. In the 50s and 40s, if your son was gay, they would take him. That's what it was called, shark hunting. They would take your shark gun. I'm like, your son's gay, we gotta take him a shark gun. Take him out there, throw him off the boat. That's how evil they were in Cuba.
Yeah.
Evil.
We're gonna go murder your son. Wow.
And the father would do it, mostly. The father would have to do it himself. It'd be like Fredo. Jeez.
Yeah.
He'd have to do it himself. Take his own son out there and throw him off the boat.
Jesus.
It's heavy stuff.
That's heavy fucking stuff, man.
Heavy stuff.
And that's real. That's fucking real. It's shit.
Yeah.
There's a show on Netflix called Celia. About Celia Cruz.
Is that machismo?
And the first 20 episodes, you watch that show, man, and you'll fucking go, Jesus Christ. that's the first show I've ever seen that they've released those little tidbits about Cuba, because they never released that.
Huh.
These fucking people in the United States that think they're racist here, go to Cuba. You know what they call the black neighborhood in Cuba? El Congo. El fucking Congo, okay? Since the 40s, they've been calling it El Congo. Racist motherfuckers.
Yeah.
There's nobody more racist than fucking Cuban people. Nobody. Nobody. I don't know how those Chinese people survived in Cuba. That's why they call them Chino. Where do you think that word came from? Chino?
That's Cuban. Yeah, that's Cuban. That, yeah, that's
Chino. Well, that's Cuban, because Cuba had the biggest Chinatown till 1960. Until Fidel came, the biggest Chinatown was in fucking Cuba, outside of China. Can you believe that shit?
Huh.
That's why in New York they have all
there's
those
Cuban,
Chinese...
I was going to say, there's Cuban Chinese food.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good shit. Pork chop with fucking fried rice and egg roll and fucking black beans and fried bananas. That's what it is. Boom. A pork chop with pork fried rice, an egg roll, and fried bananas. Who's better than you, Joe Shilley? Nobody. You understand?
Nobody.
Nobody.
No fucking body.
Do you think shark hunting still goes on?
No. Remember when Romero was on Rogan, we talked about abattoirs. When he was here, and he goes, there's gay dudes at abattoirs now. So no. Abattoirs was the last line of defense in Cuba. They're the longshoremen. They're the ones that looked over. It's a society of men. They're so machismo, they don't eat pussy. Because they believe if you eat pussy, you'll suck anything. So that's how machismo they are.
That's like the mafia, the Italians too, the same way with that.
That's how they were. Like, they don't eat pussy. Sorry, Charlie.
Yeah.
And if you do, they don't talk to you. Like, they don't talk to me.
You got to keep that on wrap, under wraps.
Yeah, like you got to keep that shit under wraps.
Yo, you and, what's that dude, English?
Yeah, TJ English.
TJ English, yeah. Dude. Those podcasts were awesome. I love that shit. Like the organized crime, like mafia, like mob shit. Like that was awesome.
And it was right in your neighborhood.
Like, I know, and the places you're talking about. Yeah, it was so cool. Yeah, it was awesome.
You know, TJ English was supposed to do a book signing last Wednesday in Union City.
Okay.
Where that book originated, all the stories.
Yeah,
the
that's
whole thing.
The Mecca, right?
1,100 people, theater sold out. They pulled the plug the night before.
Why?
I guess Alpha 66 showed up with a fucking...
Who's that?
They're like the Cuban revolutionaries or shit. Yeah. They're still in Union City. Somebody showed up. They just canceled it. So something must have gone down. I feel really bad for TJ. I didn't know.
Hmm.
I called my buddy who set it up, and he won't pick up the phone, so something went down. But I know something's going on with the mayor anyway. Something.
They're trying to get, like, they don't like it?
Yeah, something. Something went down. I feel bad for TJ because he was really excited
about
it.
It's a great story. It's so interesting. That sucks.
It's crazy. Now, where did you grow up?
Greenbrook. You know, like the Plainfields?
Yeah. Now, Greenbrook, which is the Plainfield that's bad?
All of them? I mean, they're... You know, I'd say the worst is, I don't know, would you say Plainfield? Plainfield's the biggest.
North and South are okay.
North and South Plainfield are...
North and South Plainfield. There's a Plainfield that, for like 5 fucking years, every college final, there was a kid from Plainfield on the team.
I was saying, South Plainfield's like one of the best wrestling teams in the country.
And the basketball. Every fucking year in the Final Four was from Plainfield. But I forget which one of the Plainfields it was.
Yeah, any of them. I grew up playing football with all them. I was like the only white kid who played.
Played what?
Played football. I was like the only white kid who started both like offense and defense. It's all brothers.
Let me ask you something, Joe. Would you have any option ever to fight in the UFC?
I haven't. I don't know. Maybe someday. Yeah, but kickboxing. I've always pretty much been kickboxing. Right. So, but yeah, it's something I definitely.
It's something you would be open to do
for sure. I mean, it's got to be the ultimate goal for everybody, right? I would think.
That's the big fucking stage.
That's the big stage, you know.
You know, it's so funny how the other day I was watching Real Sports, and it was about the NFL. And it was about the $100 billion suit that they settled to pay all the football players with CTE. But the problem is, they didn't pay nobody. You know, they didn't pay nobody. And I was telling Lee, like, it's hard for me. Like, I watch football now periodically, but it's hard for me to watch it now because you know that these fucking guys give their hearts to this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you give your heart to this shit, and now you don't want to get the money. Like, Mark Gastineau. Do you remember Mark Gastineau?
Yeah, for sure.
Fuck. Like, he's all fucked up. Like, they don't give him the money. And you look at these big, big organizations, you know, like the NFL, the NBA. The NBA don't give a fuck. I love the NBA. They don't piss test you for weed. You know, they let you fucking smoke as much weed as you want, supposedly. All these fucking... But, like, the UFC. Like, you want to be in the UFC because that's the ultimate... That's it. That's as good as it fucking gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's the NFL of MMA.
But let me tell you something. Bellator's making a run for it, bro.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say
Bellator ain't good. Fucking around.
Yeah,
no
I'm
more.
Not saying they're the best. I'm saying they're the biggest platform.
They're the biggest platform. I mean,
you want the biggest fights in the world. You want to make history, the biggest fights ever. Like that's UFC. That's where it's at. Right.
That's where it's at.
But yeah, no, Bellator is
the end. Bellator,
they're doing the
Bellator's
thing.
Going for it.
Bellator's welterweight Grand Prix looks fucking nuts. Dude. That looks fucking
nuts. Hope Bamba gets in that. He's trying to. Yeah, oh, that'd be awesome.
When does that start?
You know?
They start to finish the heavyweight one, right?
We're still in it. Only the first round, perhaps.
Right.
I think they still got more.
Right, so it's Chael against...
Right.
Well, Chael lost.
Well, Chael won. Chael won.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Ryan Bader won.
Chael won.
Mitrione won. Frank Mir won?
No.
He definitely lost.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Fedor. So, it's Fedor.
Fedor? Yeah.
It's Fedor against...
Dude, fire.
It's Fedor against...
Check that, Lee. Please.
Yeah, it's Fedor against whatever the fuck his name is we were talking about. Not Mitrione.
Not Mitrione.
The other guy. But, yeah.
Bader?
No. Fedor against...
Who's the first guy we said? Fuck.
The guy
Chael.
Chael.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and then it's Mitrione versus Bader.
Okay, so yeah. Chael beat Rampage, right? So then it's going to be Fedor and Chael. And then it's Mitrione and Ryan Bader. Yeah.
Did you see they're doing Rampage versus Wanderlei Silva 4? I say Joe should fight the winner.
No. Joe doesn't gain nothing from fighting none of those guys.
When he knocks one of them out?
No, Joe's a savage. Joe's got a different mission. Joe's got a different plan.
I would take those fights. They're big fights.
No, where are they fighting on the one label that they fight?
They're fighting when Rory McDonald's fighting Gegard Mousasi.
But I thought fucking Wanderlei was banned for life.
In the UFC I think he got in trouble with USADA because he ran away from a piss test.
Right,
he got in trouble in Vegas. I don't even know if it was USADA.
I'm pretty sure it was. He it was when USADA was new, and he was like, "Fuck you, you're not watching me pee." And he's probably, I don't know, maybe taking
something.
Sounds
like Wanderlei.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
So Wanderlei's fighting them under what label? Are they fighting on the Bellator?
Bellator. Yeah.
And where are they gonna fight? Like in Egypt?
No,
where
I mean,
he fight? Where's he gonna fight?
When I cornered
he fought a Chael in New York.
Wanderlei?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he's clear to fight clear with now. Them.
I think it was he like couldn't. A 3-year he has problems with. Something.
Yeah, I think he's good now. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's good. When I cornered my buddy Rich Petishnok for Bellator, it was on like Mohegan Sun. Like they do go to the Indian. What are they? What is that called? Indian
reservations.
Yeah.
That is fucking crazy that you guys
they're doing a thing.
Fight like in like comedy and MMA is the same, except for getting punched in the head. Some people have fear.
That part.
Some people have fear of fucking talking in public.
Right.
Which if you go to some people and go, "Hey, bro, go up there and say 10 minutes," they'll go, "No, punch me in the face 50 times."
I agree with the comparison. It's just you up there.
But the comparisons, I mean, when I hear that you guys fight like in bars for $50 like on Wednesday night, I'm like, that's what we do. You know, we got it. It's like a disco night. And they throw us three up.
Got to get
like
it in.
Assholes in the middle of disco night. Nobody wants to see us. Everybody's going to get their dick sucked. Right. Nobody wants to see three comedians. But, you know, they'll put you in like a bar and then you graduate to like gyms.
Yeah, I fought in like a middle school gym. I'm sure you fought in some
Then
crazy
you graduate
spots.
To like Mohegan Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and the people that are watching you are people that lost all their money and they got a free ticket to
pissed
watch.
Off. Yeah, they just want to watch some.
Yeah. Hit him in the fucking stomach. Take his eye out.
My first fight was in a bar I wasn't old enough to get into. And the only reason I was allowed in was because I signed up to do the fight. Like it was like a tough man contest. Like the bar, you had to pay $20 to come in. So I had $20, signed the paper or whatever, and they didn't ID me. And that was my first experience. And then so after the fight, I won the fight. And afterwards, I was like drinking beer. And like all the chicks saw me win. And all the dudes thought I was a badass. I'm like, this is it. This is what I'm doing the rest of my
How
life.
How much did you win?
So, figured it out. No, nothing. I won a fucking trophy and like got, you know, drunk with some fucking older girls. That was it.
Tremendous. Fucking tremendous. Yeah. The things we do because we love this shit.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
you do, and people say to you, "What'd you get paid?" Then you have people who say, "Well, what'd you get paid?" And you're like, $50. You're an asshole. I wouldn't do it. Those people today are still talking about fighting or doing comedy, but they're still worried about the fucking money. Like they never understood that when you do something that you love, it's not really about the money. You don't care about the money. You'll live on Mickey. I'll live on your floor.
Yeah,
when I sleep right there, I'll do dishes and I'll cook. And I'll fucking mow the lawn, and you won't even see me at night.
Yeah.
I won't get in until 2 in the morning, and I'll get up at 7 and leave in the morning. I'll go to the library and write jokes. People don't understand that. That's when you do, when you love something.
Yeah.
You don't give a fuck.
It's a dream.
And even though, can you believe that you fought in a bar one time? Like, this was your dream, to fight in Bellator, the UFC. But wait a second. For tonight, you're at a fucking bar. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, right.
Really? Like that's
yeah, but if they let him fight in a bar tonight, we would go after here, we would go to the bar, and I guarantee you Mickey or I would want to fight in a bar. But that's just not where our lives went. But that still sounds like a hell of a good time. You know what I mean?
Jesus Christ.
You know what I mean? For a fucking for a bar tab or whatever. Yeah. I would totally do that.
Yeah, fight for it. We could just fight for
a bar.
Fight
tab.
As a currency. Yeah. Maybe. Get a sandwich, go fight the barista, whatever.
And just fight. Like, just fight like 5 different people. No conditioning. No nothing.
I mean...
Like, I have friends that would shoot steroids just to, on the weekends, go beat up bouncers in southern New Jersey. Like, they would go down the shore to beat bouncers up. Like, all week, that's all they did was lift weights and run laps.
We're either going to get chicks or we're going to get in a fight.
Yeah, that's the mentality.
We
don't have any chicks,
we're gonna scrap with someone. Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
No, but like, in Thailand, they have, like, bars that have, like, rings in it, right? And they'll have, like... Anybody can like have like little fights inside the bars and like I would totally do that if I wasn't like under contract or now it's like a total dick move but
you hurt some poor guy
not cool but the idea of it still sounds good to me now. I would still do that. That's how I feel like amateurs were like when we would fight in those smokers all the time when I moved out here. It was like you didn't even know you were fighting until like that afternoon. You'd be like, hey, you want to go to this thing? Like, sure.
That was like jiu-jitsu tournaments.
Those are like the best. That's when you got like the most experience. It was like hands-on, like boom, right now for a trophy.
Right. You pay. Jiu-jitsu tournaments, you pay to do it.
Yeah.
I paid probably like thousands of dollars like a kid.
I did it with my son. I remember weighing in for a fight with my son in like the sling or whatever. Like in like a little baby swing, like newborn. And taking him to fights.
You guys are fucking savages.
But that's just like what you said. Like it's the exact correlation with comedy, right?
Yeah, you get it. You know? It scares you a little, but it's like the most rewarding, fun thing to do. Right?
I still get scared. 27 years.
Yeah.
27 years. I still think about it. It could be a bar with nobody there, or it could be in front of 300 people that paid $25 to see me, and the fear is still the same.
Yeah.
For about a minute to a minute and a half.
Yeah, that's crazy because you're so refined. You're like
27 years. I still get anxiety. I still think about quitting an hour before the show. Think about I don't want to do this no more.
Right, so I fought in like really big crowds and like big shows all over the world, right? And big fights, and I was like shocked how fucking nervous I was before this this fucking jiu-jitsu tournament. I did it, you know, for my buddy. We just put the gi on like a month before the tournament.
Everything else was tournament. Just,
you know, right.
Yeah.
And
dude, it's actually really fun. All the grapplers have to smoke pot before they compete.
You asked me.
The high
you
rollers.
Told me that.
Yeah, I was telling you.
And then Eddie called me.
He was there.
And he asked me if I wanted to go down there, but I had the kid that
they time. Want. They'd love you to
they'd
be a part
love
of it.
For you to be a
they'd,
part
they'd,
of
like, they're like
Hanato did the
yeah, he was the MC. They would love you to do that too. If you're ever interested, you know, they'll pay you.
It was like maybe like 500 people there or whatever.
The coolest jiu-jitsu tournament I've been to. Because all the other jiu-jitsu tournaments are like stressful and like, we're like, You know what I mean? Like, it's Brazilians yelling at you and like, paro, stop, ba, ba, ba. Here, it's everyone smoking pot around. It's chill. And it, they had, you know, they had stars. DJs and it's just going to get better. Shit. DJ right music out. Playing. Like, yeah, it's really cool. Big Lon and Masked Out put together a really cool thing.
Now, wasn't Be Real involved with it also?
Be Real TV was what it was. It had what? Over 50,000?
58,000 views.
58,000 views, like, for and it's just gonna get bigger and bigger. I'm gonna do one of them. I'm gonna do a combat jiu-jitsu, slap some motherfucker.
One of Eddie's things?
I want to do it. I'll do it for high rollers. But yeah, exactly the exact like EBI does the combat jiu-jitsu. Yeah,
jiu-jitsu with bitch slaps.
I'm gonna put someone out. I'm
what do you weigh, Joe? Me? Right what do you walk around at?
210.
I'll roll with Joe at the next high roller.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, all right, that's a no big, I'll be the main hooks. Event. Yeah. I'll be the main event.
No. It's the prelim.
It's the main event. Are you getting star power between
terrible,
you two?
Terrible.
No, it'd be awesome.
And I got to start with him in closed guard because he's a fucking skinny dude. He's a fiery fucking guy.
How bad does everybody expect me to be?
Oh, you're just going to roll over me the next shit. Event. Oh, my God.
What are you weighing? I got you, motherfucker.
Oh, my God. Joe's great. Whenever I watch his kickball, I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ.
But anyway, so like when we did that tournament, what you were saying, like I was fucking hella nervous, and I couldn't believe. And I was like, was it because I'm smoking weed, like right now, or what was it? But it was just completely different. Jiu-jitsu is not my game, you know. And then so all of my jiu-jitsu has been like no gi, and then we put the gi on for like week before.
Honestly, we started using the gi like 3 weeks before the tournament. Well, I hadn't seen this motherfucker in a gi ever, and now he's wearing it 3 weeks because he's like, oh, I'm doing a jiu-jitsu tournament. I'm like, okay, do you have a gi? Yeah, you put it on and did his thing. It was cool. Awesome.
You guys were saying it's fun, which I can't even really imagine, but I was like, what is it like? Because I've bombed on stage. What is it like when you're losing a fight? Is that still fun?
Yeah, I lost my first fight, and even though, like, just like the rush and the like getting to I do still feel like I get to fucking assault someone. I get to, in front of all the people who want to watch me and see me do my thing, I get to try and hurt them as bad as I get to try and, you know, within the rule set, like try and kill them. I think it's an awesome thing to be. No other way I'd want to spend my 20s and 30s, you know.
Fights I lost were like so like you're so wrapped up in that moment, you can't really think about whether or not like I'm winning or I'm losing. And then, you know, you wake up and it's over, and you're like, "Oh, I'm fucking up. This sucks," you know.
Yeah.
But I like block those out of my memory completely.
The highs are high and the lows are lows.
You don't think about
right?
it,
right?
That's the hardest part because listening to the
fun. I want to go through fun.
Listening to the comedy fighting comparison, that's the only one that I think is maybe different. Because if I have a bad set, I have to get up again. I can do it either that night or the next night.
Well, they can't, but if they could, they would. They'll fight that motherfucker in the locker room. Let's do it again, motherfucker.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
That's just your style. That's just your style. You're like, hey, wait a second. Something wasn't right. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Especially if you get caught and you get knocked out. When you wake up, you're not like hurt. You're not whatever. You're confused as fuck, and then you're just mad instantly that you lost. But you didn't, you know, it wasn't like you got beat. You know, you got broken down and your hand got raised. Like, you were ready to kill him and then you got knocked the fuck out. And then you woke up later and you still wanted to kill him, you know?
Do you remember when you were in the fifth grade and somebody came to you and said, Mickey, Joe Diaz is talking shit about you. He wants to meet you 3 o'clock behind the school. Remember those fights? Those were the fucking worst.
And then you got the whole day of school to think about it?
Oh, my God. Then you would look at each other in the hallway
and see him in the hallway and you're like, no, that's on now. And then you got an in-school suspension. Later.
But I still remember being in the sixth grade and fighting this kid for like 20 minutes and getting beat
20 minutes.
The fuck up.
Yeah.
Like, I had a bloody nose and a black eye. But I kept fighting this motherfucker. And the next day, we were both in class, and the teacher goes, what happened to you fucking, you two? We were both looked like we went through a fucking war. Because I kept clocking him in the head over here for some reason. I kept throwing overhead rights. You have to go through?
Yeah, I'm going to take this.
That was one of the worst feelings I ever had.
You said fifth grade?
Sixth grade. But before that, when I lived in New York City, I used to fight Rudy the Haitian every other fucking day for about a year. And then when I would go to 148th Street, I'd get into fist fights up there. This fight in the sixth grade traumatized me.
Yeah.
He broke my nose. He busted my lip.
No,
yeah. I busted his eye. I busted his head. I think I cut his lip, but he got the best of me. He busted my nose. My nose is in bad fucking shape for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then guess what happened? When my mother died, he took me in.
Really? Yeah. That became your buddy.
We ended up becoming best
there
friends.
There is definitely a bond you know. I feel that with my training partners especially. You know what I mean? Like, there's definitely a bond you get by beating the shit out of each other all the time, punching each other in the face.
The problem was that he got baited into this fight for no reason.
Right.
Like, till this day, I can't figure out why we fought. And he felt guilty immediately. Like, afterward, like the next day, mm-hmm. it was against him. He was a very nice kid. You know, he's still a very nice kid. Let me give some shout outs while he's in there real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
To my man, Dude Bro, you bad motherfucker, Pat Shea, Free Game, Michael Traeger, Rich Himes the second, Gino at Speedweed, my brother, Henry Yip Muller, New Verks, Neo Verkos, from my man from Facebook, Bethany Brian, and Christopher Walken. I also want to thank my man, Scott Cunningham. Don't forget to donate to his GoFundMe page. He's coming out here. We need to take care of him, the whole fucking deal. And that's it. You got to get back in here, my brother?
Huh?
You want to get back in here, Joe? My brother, it was a real pleasure you coming down here. I'm happy you finally made it down here. Anytime you have a fight or anytime you're in the neighborhood, I want you to stop by and say hello. It's a real pleasure. Like I said, I've always loved to watch your fight. And when I saw you at Burbank Airport that time,
yeah, I don't believe that story. That's
that was hysterical, because when I pulled up, I'm like, oh my God, that's fucking Joe Schilly. I was like a little kid. It was like seeing a Pittsburgh Steeler for the first time. Like, oh my God. So I went into the airport. I go, that wasn't Joe Schilly. And then I saw you with your family. I go, that is fucking Joe Schilly. And I call Rogan. And I go, Joe Schilling's at the airport and shit. He's like, go say hello, man. He knows who you are.
Yeah, you should have said what's up.
I'm not fucking saying hello to that fucking guy, dog. That guy just looks tough. You know what I'm saying? He just looks scary. Fuck that.
I think the first time I met you was at a Comedy Store, and I think you might have even mentioned that story, and I was just so like pumped up that you knew who I was. I would have been stoked if I saw you there.
Oh my God, yeah. I just, at the airport, you see so many people come up to you and bother you. I go, you don't need me going up to him and bother him and shit like that.
I probably looked hella mad too. I'm like, when I'm traveling, I do not look happy.
Joe Conner has resting dick face.
I have like a resting, like,
you had really your family with you. Had your family with you. Your family's beautiful. Your boys had hats on. You were having like a good time with them. You had like designer jeans on and shit. You were doing your thing. And you know, man, one thing with this, in this new world that we live in, it's great. I want you to say hello to me. Especially if you listen to the podcast. But do me a favor. Look to see what we're doing first.
Right.
Yeah.
Look to see what we're doing first.
There's definitely a time and a place.
There's a time and a place for everything. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fan of his. I watched him fight. I saw him on Rogan. I went fucking nuts. I didn't even know Joe knew you. I didn't know Joe knew that whole world. I'm like, oh my God. Fucking Joe. I called him afterward. I still wouldn't go up to him. Like, I'm not that type of person. I would never do that. It's so weird how somebody would come up to you. Yeah, there's a point and a level. I love Mickey, but that doesn't mean if I see you at an airport at 6 in the morning, I'm going to come grab you by the arm.
I think it's a certain, like, because I know, like, I'll get recognized, like, all the time. Like, sometimes almost every day. And I would never go to, I can think of, there's no one I would think to go up and go that I've never met. Be like, hey, I know you as the blah, blah, blah. So that's why I feel like anytime like someone like, comes up and says something to us, I'm always like the nicest ever. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, for someone to want, I can't think of anyone I would want to do that to. Go up and be like, hey, dude, I blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'd want to, but I'd get too nervous.
I chased James Coburn when I moved here.
He was
me and Rogan. He was in an Acura. I go, Rogan, step on it. I'll stab you in the fucking lung. We chased him like for 3 blocks. And then I ended up doing a fucking a TV show with him.
Who was it? James what?
Coburn. James Coburn was one of Bruce Lee's students.
Oh, no shit. He hung out
with Steve McQueen. And he fucking, he was just, he had great movies. He did all of these, he was Our Man Flint. He did a bunch of movies, and I always thought him and like Charles Bronson were gods.
Mm-hmm.
When I came here, I saw him on Sunset, the fucking Acura, the nice one. And we were at him at a light. I go, Joe Rogan, look to your fucking right, look who it is. It's James motherfucking Coburn. God damn. And we chased him a little bit. He fucking felt it, and he just took off. That motherfucker could drive. He was doing like 90. And then like a year later, I booked Arliss. And every time I went to shoot my role, they kept saying, got canceled. The star is sick. We're going to pay you anyway. It got canceled 3 fucking times, bro. Finally, they called me. They're like, we're shooting Monday. And they go, he's okay now. And I go, who am I shooting with? And they go, your scenes are all with James Corbin. I'm like, you're fucking kidding me.
Caught you, motherfucker. Finally got him.
You fucking kidding me.
He got you extra money, though. He got you extra money 3 times, right?
He got me 3 times paid.
Nice.
And then I saw him. I didn't say dick to him the whole day. We shot our first scene that night after dinner we shot. And he was still, like, vibrant. He had, like, a 6-hour break. Like, he shot early, and then they gave him, like, 6 hours. We had dinner, and then it was just me and him in the room for 2 hours. And I talked to him a little bit. I didn't break his balls. I just, you know. Then the next day, I opened up on him, and he was dynamite. We talked about Bruce Lee. He started crying and shit. Fuck yeah. Fuck, he goes, you have no idea. He goes, you have no idea who that dude was. You have no idea what he was, like his energy when he walked in the room. He goes, that dude was like superhuman. He was just breaking it down. And I remember rolling the joint and like dying to ask him, like, we gotta smoke this. And he had like a Chinese wife or an Asian wife or something. And at the end of the day, he asked one of the guys, anybody got any marijuana around here? And I gave it to the producer. I go, give this to him. And the producer gave it to him and shit. And that's my fucking James Coburn story.
Nice.
And then I got another movie, and he's in the fucking movie. And I go, holy shit.
Now you're familiar face.
So my mind's going crazy trying to figure out who he is.
James, no, I'm picturing James Coburn, our man Flint. Wait till you see this fucking savage.
Yeah. I would actually probably, if I saw The Rock, I'd probably be like, go up to him.
Yeah.
But I like he'd be like standing there in a he'll fucking line. He'll probably say something
to you. Yeah, he'll probably say something to you.
Yeah, he yeah. But actually,
I see The Rock with a fucking chick that's hot. I'm not going to say something to him.
Right. But exactly. Follow me. If he's with a chick, I'm not going to. Yeah. But actually, I'd probably just make him look good. Can I take a picture with you? I mean, The Rock probably gets all day. Yo, so when I fought Sage Northcutt, they gave us a question. They were like, if you could fight anybody, who would it be? Like alive or dead. And I said Bruce Lee and The Rock. And then they like tagged The Rock and stuff, and he like tweeted back, he's like, oh, I love this tough bastard, blah blah blah. And then after I beat Sage, he like sent me another tweet. Like just be like, yo, congrats, tequila's on me, blah blah blah. So I still never got those tequilas though. So
all right, well,
he owes me.
There he is right at the
Rock. What's up them tequilas, baby?
Hashtag
guys, what up, everyone, man? Reach out to The Rock. What's up with my tequilas?
Right. See that him with a tuxedo? Right. That's him and our man Flint. He got old at the end, but he was a bad motherfucker. This guy could act his fucking ass off, guys.
He was in Bruce Lee movies?
No, he trained with him and Steve McQueen were like fucking Bruce Lee gurus and Al
Kareem. What would I know him from? What movie?
Fucking look at his IMDb page. Let's see what we got for James motherfucking Coburn. Yeah, there you go. Skills.
Actually, that reminds me. We also brought you a Jawsercise. We'll show you. It's a little. It's Have you heard of the Jawsercise?
The who size?
Jawsercise. Me and Joe fuck with this thing. Hold on, Jamie will grab it. But it's this thing to like actually train like your jaw, your neck, and get like it, so when you're getting punched, I think it's a fucking game changer. We got you one. You'll like it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you guys are fucking too young to remember this fucking guy.
I think Arliss was his last movie.
Really?
Yeah, is this it right here?
This thing holy you like bite shit. Down and mix your fucking bat. Yeah.
This is like a fucking one of those balls you put in girls' mouths. And you give them a little stab at it.
Joe's in like a ball cap.
We'll give this to Eric. Eric is our gay friend. He says he uses these balls all the time. His gay friends.
You might choke on that one. He might like that though. He might be into that. I don't know.
Yeah, he did move. You know, he did like fucking shit that his big movies. Yeah, you never thought of that, did you? It's fucking crazy. Arliss was his last TV. 174 fucking credits he had.
Damn.
But scroll down to the 60s. Those are his movies.
Oh, shit. I've seen these movies.
Yeah, no, you haven't seen none of these movies.
Yes, I have. Snow Dogs, Cuba Gooding Jr. Come on. Fucking classic.
I'm happy you guys came on here tonight, man. Thank you very much, both of you. Let me know when you're fighting, whenever the fuck you're doing anything.
Where we're going to see you at Muscle. Yeah. We'll see you at Muscle Farm.
Friday, yeah, 11 o'clock.
Sure. Fuck yeah.
Where can they follow you at, Joe? Where can they hit you with questions, whatever?
I fucking did it again.
What'd you do?
Oh, man.
You don't know your shit?
No, I forgot to fucking say it. Remember, I had this, never mind, whatever. It's Joe, it's on Instagram, Joe_Schilling.
And where can they get a hold of you, Mickey
Gall? At Mickey Gall. Mickey like the mouse. Well, no, I should just change it to just Mickey, huh? M-I-C-K-E-Y. Just
Mickey, dog.
G-A-L-L.
See, Mickey Mouse is Mickey Mouse. You're just fucking
Fucking Mickey. Yeah.
That's it. I like the last name. You're like Prince. Mickey. There ain't no other Mickeys. Mickey Rourke is
people
done.
Fuck up my name, too.
They the say other Gal. Guy's done.
It's Gall. People fuck that up.
Ah, Mickey Gar.
Well, that was... We saw this this Asian guy's like, oh, hello, Mickey Gar.
Wait, so this... it was, oh, man.
Yeah, we went Matt Brown. We went shooting with Matt Brown too. You know Matt Brown, the portal. Dude's a fucking savage. He's surgical. He's nasty.
So you've been having he's fun awesome. Out here, huh?
Bro, yeah, I'm learning a lot, man. I'm working with the best, doing what I should be, you know.
And then you're going home for a couple weeks.
Yeah, good. I'll be home for the 4th of July, my little baby sister's birthday, and back out probably for like the rest of the summer, July through August, fight camp. You know, getting that work.
All right, brother. Well, it's always a pleasure to see you guys.
Always.
Thank you for stopping by the church.
Thanks for having us.
Bro, hell yeah. It's fucking dynamite. I love Amen. You, motherfuckers.
Love you, buddy.
Joe Schilling. He's a fucking savage. All right. I want to thank our sponsors, FujiSports.com. If you need a gi, mats, shin guards, boxing gloves, MMA, whatever the fuck you need, Fuji's got it for you. Number two, 66% of men lose their hair by the age of 35. Did you know that? The thing is, when you start to notice your hair loss, it's too late. It's easier to keep the hair you have than to replace the hair you lost. Have you seen more of your forehead than ever before? Has someone mentioned that you have a bald spot that wasn't there before? Have you noticed a pile of hair in your brush or comb that you've never noticed before? Have you fixed your hair lately and just said, where the hell is my hair gone? Yeah, that's what happens. But thanks to science, baldness can be optional, okay? A one-stop shopping for hair loss. That's what Hims is. ForHims.com. is one-stop shopping for skincare, sexual wellness, and hair loss. Him connects you to real doctors and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss without having to break the bank. Excuse me. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. Keep your hair. Let's keep your hair, dog. You want to look good? You want to be handsome? You want to... FDA-approved prescription solutions, backed by science. No waiting room, no awkward doctor visits. You save hours by going to 4hims.com. You understand me? 4hims.com. What you do is you answer a few quick questions, you upload some photos, and a doctor will prescribe you the prescription meds that you need. It's that easy, and guess what? The product gets shipped directly to your door. You don't have to go to nobody's house. You don't have to go to... pharmacy, nothing. For him, listen to me. This is the way to do it. I had a friend growing up, Glenn Hashway. He lost his mind. Every week he'd be spray painting his hair, doing this, cutting the hair from here, putting it there with glue. Who needs a decoration?
Oh, my God.
Go to forhims.com right now. Right now. My listeners, for 1 month, I'll get you 1 month of Hims for $5. $5 right now. While supplies last. See the website for full details. This would cost you $100 if you went to a doctor. Hundreds of dollars if you went to a doctor or a pharmacy. Me, I'm going to hook you up. Right now, I'm going to take care of you. It's over. Go to 4hims.com right now /Joey. Again, that's 4hims.com/Joey. Again, that's 4hims.com/Joey. I want to thank Joe Schilling. I want to thank Mickey. Just Mickey, bitch.
Just Mickey.
And I want to thank the Christ Killer. I want to thank you guys for listening, for being family. We'll talk to you guys next week. Have a great weekend. Don't forget, South Point, the 13th and 14th, Las Vegas, bitches. And then I'm at Wise Guys, the end of the month, Friday and Saturday, the 27th, over there in Salt Lake City. I want to thank Joe. I want to thank Hims.com. And I want to thank FujiSports.com. I want to thank all you motherfuckers.
Fuji.
Have a great weekend. Stay black. Wash your muffler. And don't forget me, all right? Kick that fucking mule, Lee.
Thank you, Uncle Joey.
Thank you, brother.
need me anymore.